Hello, and welcome to the Game Slate Podcast, episode 58. I'm Curtis.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And here, as usual, we're going to talk about the World of Warcraft a little bit. And then some other things.
Not much. None of us have actually played it too much over the past week.
No, it's been kind of a busy, weird
week. You played the most. You're at level 72. I'm still 69.
I'm almost level 73.
See, still 69.
Anyhow.
I've been working more. I haven't had time to play.
Well, it doesn't help that I've kind of monopolized the computer.
It's hard co-sharing a computer.
I could see that being difficult.
It also doesn't help that I've become bigger friends with Wii Fit, so my Warcraft times become Wii Fit time for my work's weight loss challenge. Not that I need to lose lots, but
a little bit.
It's hard competing against teams of people who are lot larger, can lose like 10, 20 pounds in a week.
It's hard to beat somebody who just has the default advantage of being able to lose more weight than you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's still based on percentages, but
yeah, it's based on percentages of weight loss for the group of people. But I only need like 20 pounds. So people need to lose like 100 pounds.
Regardless, they can get a bigger percentage just by, you know, they defaultly can, you know, lose more of a percentage than you can without going into dangerous underweight status.
Yes.
Oh, not going to, like, dangerous, like, malnutrition status.
So, yeah, I've been using Wii Fit a lot more. I'm getting better at it, I think.
You get more balanced, basically.
Oh, I think I'm building up a little bit of body strength, too.
Yeah.
That's always good.
I just wish it was easier to custom build your routines and such. Wii Fit Plus has a lot more options, but still not as robust as I wish it could be. Like, when you build your own program, you can't pick from all the stuff. You can only pick up from, like, the yoga and the strength training. You can't put in, like, the aerobics or the balance games in it.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
I think that one thing I did notice is you can't change the number of, like, reps or whatever.
Yeah, you can't change the number of reps that you get with it either, and it also doesn't record things. If you do something, like, really good for once, it doesn't record it into the
records.
I can see that being a little annoying. Have you considered trying one of Irish Pride's Connect with one of their, you know, 30 workout games or whatever it is now?
I haven't tried yet. He has one of the new workout games, Dance Central, I forget what else. He also has a couple of the EA. Is it Fitness Resort?
I don't know.
I can't remember. There's a couple from EA, too, that are exercise.
And those were for the Wii, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, the newer one is for all three system platforms. The first one, I think, was for the Wii, because it was one of the things, too, that had the motion, Motion Plus.
Do those use the balance board at all, or is that still kind of the exclusive purview of Wii Fit?
No, it uses the balance board. Mm-hmm. It uses thing. It also has, like, other things that you can use additional, because it came with, like, a resistance band and something else, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's been my game playing, a longer exercise routine.
Cool. Well, I've actually been doing more gaming than me. I think the most I've played any games this week was yesterday and today, because I didn't really play anything during the week, because it's just been busy. Doing other stuff, and plus I've been just having to spend time doing other things, work-related stuff, and changing how I store files for the website itself to try and make things a bit more cohesive.
Yay, cohesion.
Anyhow, moving on, we do have a few things from the news this week. First of all, a group called Fail Overflow, which is the same member of their group is the same guy that was the first one to hack the iPhone, George GeoHotHots. And he pretty much hacked the new PS3, allowing people to run unsigned code, which is basically what the PS3 used to be able to do with the install other OS feature, but then, you know, they locked that down.
So, why is running unsigned code bad?
Because it can be, Sony claims it can be used to run pirated games, which actually, I saw G4 actually did an interview with him, and he actually intentionally made his code so it's not so you're not supposed to be able to play hacked or pirated games. But, you know, it's not too far of a stretch to take his hack and then modify it for the unsigned games, and so Sony is basically suing him, saying that this is a violation of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Well, so what people are kind of hoping that are for his side is that the courts will look at this and they'll look at the change they made, saying that it is legal to jailbreak your iPad or your mobile, basically a mobile device, and extend that to game consoles. But as of this time, that's not how the law reads. So Sony's taking him to court over this whole thing. Anywho, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And apparently this is the first time he's really ever had to gone to court over something like that, over hacking. So hope the best for him.
Yes, what are the laws in place for if you're caught hacking? Is it a fine? Is it a misdemeanor? A felony?
It depends on.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you're doing.
You know, if you're trying to infiltrate, you know, a federal, you know, computer system, it's a felony.
Yeah, if you're trying to hack into a bank, that's probably pretty, you know, that's pretty felony as well.
If you're trying to change, like, the front page on your local library or something to say, I'm a poopy head, it's probably just a misdemeanor.
Like, there was that one, I forget the name of the hacker, but he got, like, several years in jail, and then he was forbidden from ever touching a computer again.
Man. Okay.
Which is becoming more and more difficult in today's society.
I have to buy a really crappy phone. Because otherwise, it has a computer. I mean,
well, how would he get, you know, a decent job anymore? You have to log in at some places on the computer and keep your time that way.
Yeah.
Anyhow, then let's see. In movie news, originally, somebody had told me the Tron Legacy sequel had basically been thrown out because Tron didn't make enough money in its opening weekend. But now, according to Ain't It Cool News, a insider has said that Tron is getting ready to cross the 300 million worldwide mark, and that's having them rethink things, and they might they're getting ready to greenlight the Tron Legacy sequel, which I know you two haven't seen it yet, but they did actually kind of leave the ending of the movie open for a sequel. So, and a lot of people complain about the movie's, you know, plots not being all that great. I didn't mind it. I actually kind of enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to kind of this continuing on. I mean, heck, they're on their fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Let's mix it up to a little sci-fi, too.
It's still not a new IP. Why did Tron need to have a remake anyways?
It wasn't a remake. It was actually a sequel.
Okay.
It actually continues on from the original story that was placed.
I just want Daft Punk soundtrack for it.
It was an interesting soundtrack. They did a good job.
I heard that, you know, basically other than a couple of, like, 80s power songs or something, that everything else was completely Daft Punk in the entire soundtrack.
That's what I heard, too.
Everybody seems to gush over it. It's, I don't know, sometimes the soundtracks are good, but then, you know, do you think that, you know, the movie sometimes has failings if everybody says, oh, well, the soundtrack's really awesome. Well, the movie's okay. But that soundtrack, man!
Let's see. On to other movie news. I'm just going to keep moving on unless you guys want to stop me and come up with your own thing you want to talk about. Hobbit.
Hobbit has been
officially greenlit. They finally got over the last hurdle that was keeping them from being made, between the New Zealand government and MGM being broke as, I don't know, who's really broke these days? Homeless people?
U.S. They're always government? Broke.
No, yeah,
the average
they
American.
Are,
I don't know. No, I always feel broke.
But haven't they begun principal photography at this point?
I think so. I think what it is they finally got all the stuff straightened out so they could, you know, green light it, and I think they've been starting to shoot principal photography. If a friend of a friend of a friend can be said, since Proteus, I did, you know, live in New Zealand. My former work says that one of their former recent employees has left to go and help shoot the movie. I don't know what sort of capacity they're going to be on there or if they're getting on, but, you know, things are moving. I guess it helps, too, when I have read that the release date is December 19th, 2012, and the sort of second movie is supposed to come out roughly the same time in 2013. No official title or anything yet. No one really knows what the second movie is going to be about yet, so we'll save that for later. But Ian McKellen and Andy Serkis have both come back to reprise their roles of Gandalf and Gollum, respectively.
Yeah, I believe we also have returning Kate Blanchett. And
Galadriel?
Yeah.
I haven't had any confirmations yet about Christopher Lee about being Saruman, but apparently he's in talks, the last I read.
Ian Holm, sounds like he'll be playing an old Bilbo.
Yes, yes. Well, he's still in negotiation. Ian Holm and Christopher Lee were the two of the original cast still that they were talking to that have neither confirmed nor denied, but are in negotiations, supposedly, to reprise their roles in some capacity in the next two films.
Yeah, because they also have, Elrond.
Hugo Weaving?
Yeah, supposed to be reprising.
Lots of reprising roles, but, you know,
yeah,
all the
helps.
Same characters. So.
It's nice. It helps keep everything nice and cohesive between all five movies.
So, I guess everyone who's probably going to, is probably, I'm guessing, going to be another Wednesday. So, Trilogy Tuesday is abound.
Maybe.
For everybody who wants to sit down and watch 9 to 12 hours of Lord of the Rings.
Here's what I think is going to happen. They're actually going to show the new movie first, and then they'll have, you know, the big sell thing where they then show all three extended editions right afterwards.
The problem with that is that you have to start at midnight because of the release time.
Yep. Try to tell me you don't see people doing that.
Well, I can. I just don't know if I can see myself. That will hurt, because that will mean, you know, going to bed at, like, noon the next day. Yeah, 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's going to be more than 12 hours because
if they did extended edition, yeah, it's 12 hours for just the extended edition of the
plus the new
Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
We're looking at 15 hours, roughly.
And then in 2013, you'll have them do the first Hobbit movie, the second new movie, and then all three other movies. So you're looking at a good 20 hours in the theater.
I think we're getting to the point where it's going to be easier to sit through and watch the entire Ring cycle. That, like, Ring of the Nibelung, than to watch The Lord of the Rings.
But I'm glad they got everything worked out finally, and that things are moving forward, and that they're starting to do stuff. Because I know they were already starting to prep even before we left New Zealand. They were back down in Matamata, where...
Planting Hobbiton.
Yeah.
Literally planting, like, so they have, you know, bushes and trees and...
Growth.
And stuff, like, all growth in place doesn't look like it's just been put in from a nursery.
Cool.
Apparently, wasn't there some talks about like, permanently leaving up the Hobbiton set this time?
I don't know.
As an attraction?
I guess they'd have to talk to that farmer, because people already go and visit the blank field. It's basically a farmer's field in Matamata, which is kind of in the middle of the northern island of New Zealand. There's not much else out there. Matamata is not a very big town.
It just happens to be at the right distance for a pee break on your way out of Auckland if you're going south.
Yes.
And it bypasses Hamilton, which is the most annoying town to drive through in New Zealand.
Sorry, Hamilton. Even New Zealand knows that you're not the best town to drive through.
And it's not like Hamiltonians are bad or something. It's just like their town is laid out very oddly and very hard to get, you know, drive through quickly.
But yeah, so there's people who take tours to go view the empty farmer's field, so maybe he's like, maybe I should just let him leave it up. Might be able to get some more revenue off of it.
Charge people, like, you know, $15 or something to go and walk around Hobbiton.
I mean, the funny thing is, you know, it's like all the sets they have there are just exterior sets. You know, it's not like they're building actual Hobbit holes. You can't go underground in those sets. It's just like doors, like, sitting on a hill that open into dirt.
If they did do that, though, he could probably charge about $30 a person.
He could probably say, come,
if
you know,
did
stay
do that,
the
he could,
night
yeah,
in be... Hobbiton. He could open up his own, like, little Lord of the Rings resort. People would probably pay to go live, you know, spend a week in New Zealand in a Hobbit hole.
I could actually see that be a very profitable endeavor.
The only thing is it'd be expensive to refurnish anything if it got broken, since it's all made by Weta.
You can employ other local craftspeople in New Zealand.
It doesn't have to be made by Weta.
The problem that we'll have, though, is if stuff is made by Weta and is, like, 100% Lurpica, people might perform five-finger discounts.
Well, that's why you just keep inventory of everything on the room between each person. You go in and then you charge their accounts everything that's missing.
And I want to see somebody have to, you know, maybe they like the chair or the table and try to, you know, get that to go out of the scene.
Like, where'd you get this table from?
I this bought door. It.
I bought it at the Target. Yes.
Target, yes.
Targets in New Zealand are like furniture stores. So yay! Hobbit moving forward. And I would like to see it, but I'll have to wait practically 2 years at this point. But at least it's following, moving along.
Yep. It's not. We're geeks. We're used to waiting an exorbitant amount of times for what we want. I'm still waiting for Half-Life Episode 3 to have something shown for it.
I'm just glad it's a good thing I've never gotten into Half-Life. But it's always kind of, I don't really want to be freaked out by weird mutated critters and such.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I gave up on Half-Life. I was tired of things jumping out. It's like, okay, I don't like this anymore.
You know what, you don't like headcrab zombies?
I don't like the things that sit on the ceiling and go, grrr.
There aren't as many of those now.
There's a whole lot of them when I started playing through Half-Life 2. They're like everywhere.
Said now there's not near as many of them. I know, those things never bugged me because I could usually tell where they were, so I'd be able to shoot them and kill them before I got to them.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to say. I know one of my friends absolutely loved Half-Life, so.
And they are working on Portal 2 right now. I'm looking forward to Portal 2.
I saw Portal 2. Played Portal 2. Portal vicariously.
You fell asleep for a lot of it, though. You decided to take naps.
I took my Sunday afternoon naps. A study was saying that naps are the best way to get yourself more energy, more than coffee, Powerballs, power bars, or 15-minute walks.
I don't know, a winning Powerball would probably give me a lot of new energy.
I was being power barred, but yeah, everybody should go play Powerball. If you have it, it's up to $96 billion.
Anyhow, on to more sciencey stuff. Do you wish your shirt could power your laptop?
Well, sometime in the near future, it might. Scientists, I regularly listen to the NPR program Science Friday, which is great. I really recommend it. It's available in podcast form, mm-hmm. In case you get bored listening to our podcast, I guess.
And why would they get bored listening to our fabulous podcast?
Well, we only do a half an hour a week, so it doesn't fill up that much time.
But it's a good block for driving to work.
Yeah. Anyway, but definitely listen to them. This was not last week's, because I haven't listened to that yet, but it was the week before, I believe, which would have been the 7th.
Yes,
January 7th. They had a scientist on who has been engineering yarns that basically incorporate nanoparticles of various sorts. You know, some of the carbon nanotubes, and then some various other things. But they can basically make yarns that are functional as more than just,
you know,
textiles. But they can do things like be batteries or superconductors. Or that they can adapt, and they can change the porosity of the garment or the material. So when it's like really cold, all the pores close up and keep the person warmer and drier. Whereas if it gets really warm out, they will open up more and allow more evaporation of the, you know, from the person, so that they don't get too hot.
Weren't they also talking about being able to put them inside people?
Oh,
or
yes.
Like powering pacemakers and other like. Internal.
Interesting.
They could have them basically pull energy off of the sugars in your body. Basically like break down sugars the same way that your cells do and turn them into electrical energy, store in a battery, and then, you know, run a pacemaker or some other biomedical device off of it.
Cool.
Which would mean no longer having to, you know, I mean, the batteries that put in pacemakers last a long time, but you still have to go in once in a while for surgery to get them replaced. And that'd just be, you know, it's kind of a traumatic surgery, having your chest cavity open like that.
It'd be nice not having to get the battery replaced on the pacemaker.
Yeah. But I think they can do the, what's that surgery called? They just do the little tiny hole and put all the tools in through it. What is that? What are those kinds of surgeries called?
I don't know.
Offhand,
sorry.
No, I can't remember now either. It's how they do a lot of internal surgeries now. So
Kimberly could probably tell us, because that's what they did for appendicitis.
Yeah, because they just... With that one, do they usually go through like the belly button or something?
Yeah,
they have one hole right by the appendix, one hole through the belly button, and one hole right on the other side.
Yeah, because they put the little, like a scope in there, and they have tools. It's almost like a a router like you'd use in your toilet or something, except not smaller. Because it has like a flexible, you know, snake thing.
And so unless it actually bursts, they don't need to, they can just pull it out through your belly button instead of having to do the whole larger appendix scars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Irish Pride has a similar thing. Did Camber get a picture of hers?
No.
He got a picture of his.
Did he ask for pictures?
No, they took a picture of it just to make sure it was, you know, see how it was like, and it so we could take it out. And then they're like, "Hey, you want the picture?" He's like, "Sure."
I think I would have passed on the picture, honestly.
It doesn't really look like much. It's like, you know, black and white image. It just kind of looks like mush stuff there, so.
Isn't it? I was thinking of that episode of Rocco's Modern Life where he had his appendix out and was all sad because he was going to miss his appendix. It, like, you know, kind of personified the appendix he took out to the park, like to the amusement park, and he was wearing a ball cap. And
yes, I do remember that episode. That show is weird.
It's great.
It's still on.
There's, I mean, they're not making new episodes, just reruns. But
yeah,
yeah. Well, but now there's that whole challenge. It's like various Nickelodeon cartoons. It's
Anyhow.
Oh, I guess we could say we played Gamma World last weekend.
Oh, we did start playing Gamma World. That is a freaky game. At least the character creation is.
Somehow we ended up with two rat swarms.
And two speedsters.
Yeah. One was a yeti and one was a cockroach.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, it's like we, you know, you try and do stuff randomly and it still comes out. Like, it's so similar.
And my character almost died in the first round of combat.
A crowning achievement for me as a GM.
Heck, if he had tried a little harder, he could have killed me in the first round of
combat. Oh, I could have. I was like, I'm going to back off on this a little bit and hurt other people.
Heck, one more failed roll and I would have died in the first round of combat. Because I was like at negative, what was it?
Negative six.
Six health points?
Negative eight would have been, you are beyond saving.
It would have been, you go up in a big green flash of fire! Radioactive fire!
At least I would have gone out with a bang.
In the first round.
Yeah, we've been having, we had fun with it.
We did have fun with it. My I think we had more fun with the character creation, though, than playing the game.
My only complaint, though, is I hate the character sheets for it, and there's not enough space, and there's not enough explanation of where you need to write stuff down.
I've got that fixed for the next time.
That's good.
I'm using the interactive character creator at Blizzard, at Wizard's site. So the only thing I have to select them one by one is the armor and weapons. Everything else I can have randomly created already. So when we die, I just hand you a new character sheet.
It sounds like deaths happen often in this one. But yeah, it was amusing. It's hard playing a swarm, though.
Role-playing?
Uh-huh.
Just think of yourself as the Borg.
Yeah, I try to think of myself as a collective of thoughts. Many minds, many bodies, one consciousness.
Anywho. Yeah, you'd think after a week we'd actually have some, we'd actually have more. Well, actually, it's not even been a week, because the last time I actually recorded was on Wednesday. So it's Saturday, so it's, or Sunday, so it's only been a few days.
Snowstorms prevented last week's podcast from happening as a group.
So I already talked about basically anything that happened between Wednesday and before Wednesday, anything that happened before Wednesday. So that kind of cuts things down, so we can't talk about the iPods, we've already talked about that. Oh yeah, so, good enough. We'll have more for you next week, we'll try and promise. We make no guarantees though, because in all reality, you get what you pay for.
Oh, you're selling us so short.
Oh, there is something I want to say, because some people, I know at least two people in this room, actually care about this. February 22nd is when Fooly Cooly is coming out on a DVD and Blu-ray.
Wait, it's coming out on Blu-ray too?
Possibly. Let me double check that one for you guys.
Blu-ray would be awesome.
Yay.
Considering I'm starting to switch over my collection.
I mean, I know Funimation is trying to actually do a lot of stuff in
Blu-ray.
I know, like, you can buy episodes are $2.99 each on iTunes for it right now. Yes, catch it on DVD and Blu-ray February 22nd.
Okay.
Hooray! At least it actually came out. At least, you know, them having it posted up on their website that they actually were true and they followed through with it, because my version got stolen.
If you have never seen Fooly Cooly before and you're a little curious, you have until the 20-something. You have a few days in order to download the first episode for free on iTunes if you've never seen it and you're kind of curious.
January 25th.
January 25th.
Get the first episode free until January 25th of Fooly Cooly. No, you'll just be more scratching your head. It's only 6 episodes long. They're only 30-minute episodes. But it's... I don't know, it's just great. And each episode's style is slightly different, and... I don't know, it's in my top 3.
It's a very interesting anime. It's not as crazy as Excel Saga, but it's close.
It's more surreal.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, have... go through all sorts of different troops. It's just kind of a steady as she goes.
Apparently, you can also download the first episode of Black Butler for free. Episodes 1 and 27 of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood are free. First episode of Soul Eater is free, and the first episode of Trigun is free.
I definitely recommend Trigun.
It's a very good, especially if you're trying to introduce somebody into anime. It's got enough of a Western feel to appeal to American audiences that it's a good starter anime. Personal opinion on that one, but hey.
Yeah. And Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, I'm guessing, is good. I mean, I really enjoyed
the original Full Metal Alchemist. I haven't actually watched anything of Brotherhood to see what's different about it, but I think a lot of it is streaming on Funimation's site right now.
This isn't supposedly falling closer to the manga, or is it...
Yeah, Brotherhood is supposed to be going closer to the manga.
And then I know nothing about Soul Eater. Or Black Butler.
I've heard of Soul Eater, but I can't think of what it's about. Black Butler, I think, is newer.
Anywho, so, for those of you interested, it's good news to know. Anywho, so in the meantime, go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com. You can find a link to the store there, you can find our forums there, and you can also email us at mail@thegameslave.com. Questions, comments, complaints, rants, I don't know, we'll take it. Spam I won't take, I'll delete that. But anything else we'll take. In the meantime, y'all have a good week, and game on!
Game on!